Well, this is September 21st, 2009, the PNB Election Committee. Bill Crozier convening the meeting, and it's 7:34 Central Time, 8:34 p.m. Eastern Time. And Yosh, would you like to call the roll, please?
Sure thing. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Jim Brown?
Here.
Steve Brown?
Jim Brown, here.
Steve Brown. No Steve Brown. Bill Crozier?
I'm here.
Anthony Fest?
Here.
Tracy Larkins? Tracy? Bob Lederer?
Here.
Warren Marr? Warren? Ithia Wangaza? Ithia? Sean Casey O'Brien?
Present.
Wendy Schrell?
Here.
Bonnie Simmons?
Here.
And Yosh Almanaka is here. We have quorum.
Okay, thank you. I hope everybody got the draft agenda. I didn't send it out till this afternoon. I was waiting to see if Les Radke would be able to join us on the call, and I did not hear back from him. So I assume he's not going to be on the call, but he's certainly invited.
I did not get it, Bill. As you know, my computer is down, and I'm without a computer.
Okay. Well, let me read it, and then if anybody has any suggestions, changes, we can do that. Approval of agenda, 5 minutes. Approval of meeting minutes. And actually, there weren't any because we didn't have an official meeting on August 17th because we did not have quorum. Confirm next meeting date and time, tentatively Monday, October 19th at 8:30 Central, and the third Monday of each month afterwards. Update from each station on elections and ballots, 10 minutes. NES update and Q&A, 45 minutes. That's assuming Les joins us. Task Force Subcommittee to work on a list of challenges and fair campaign issues from past elections per previous NES request, parenthesis to help resolve conflicting and ambiguous decisions, guidelines, and develop other recommendations to reduce confusion and challenges this time, and to help NES as needed between EC meetings. Sorry, that's kind of long. 15 minutes. And any new business. And then adjourn. Any changes, anyone?
I have a suggestion, if I may.
Okay, Carolyn.
If we're not, in fact, going to hear from the National Supervisor, perhaps we could use that time for new business related to elections issues around the network.
Okay. Well, I have
anyone
new business anyway.
Uh-huh.
There's the second item after that, but do you want to move it up if Les does not join us?
I think I would like to do that, yes.
Okay. Any objections to that?
I'm sorry, move which up?
New business up to replace NES update and Q&A if Les does not join us on the call. If Les Radke doesn't join us. And if he does call in, we'll just leave the new business as it is, I guess. Is that correct, Carolyn?
That sounds fine to me, thank you.
Okay, any objections to that? Okay, hearing no objections, we'll make that change. Any other changes to the agenda?
I have no changes. This is Yosh, but I just wanted to let you know I'll be unavailable on Monday, October 19th.
Okay. Anybody else have a problem with that date?
Yeah, Jim Brown.
Okay, well, we'll get to that here real shortly, and we can change the date if we need to or decide what to do. Any other changes to the agenda, though? Okay, the agenda is approved as amended with a change of moving new business up. Approval of meeting minutes, and I guess that's moot since we didn't have any the last meeting. If you weren't there, we did not have quorum. We went ahead and went through the agenda. I took some notes, but we didn't decide anything. No votes on anything since we didn't have quorum. And most of it was I gave a verbal report on a conversation I'd had with Les Radke, who could not join us on the call then either. So,
this is Bob Lederer.
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, I think it would be good for you to circulate the notes that you took of that discussion, even though it wasn't an official meeting, just so everyone is aware
okay.
of what went on.
Okay. All right. Let's see. And one question that did come up, I remember, was to put on the agenda for this next meeting. I didn't do because it's, I guess it's kind of moot, but I'll update it. It was streaming of working groups and meetings without quorum. And I guess the answer was it is possible to do that, so, and sometimes it has happened. So I guess it's up to the committee to decide whether or not to do that. Okay, let's see. Confirm next committee meeting date and time. So Yosh and Jim Brown cannot participate on the October 19th. Anyone else have a problem with that date?
Well, this is Bob.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that date, but I think in light of the large number of problems that have emerged in this election yet again, that it's quite urgent that we do have a meeting with Les Radke in attendance. And so I would propose that we pass a motion to empower the chair to set a meeting date, I mean, based on a poll of the members, but also, but most importantly, based on a time that Les Radke will be available to answer questions and give us an update on, you know, on what's happening with the elections before they're over, which is the 5th, October 15th.
Okay.
In fact, much before they're over. So, for instance, as early, I would urge that it be held next week.
Okay. Any objections to that? Or any discussion, I guess, first, anyone?
I was going to second it.
Well, I'd like to know what the large problems are. Maybe we'll do that later in the agenda, but I'd like to know what the large problems are before we decide what we need to, you know, whether to meet or not.
Okay, so you're suggesting we postpone consideration of that later in the meeting?
Until after we do the new business?
Well, I would say do it after you have all your reports from around the stations. Then we can see if we have large problems or small glitches and whether they, you know, need a, we need a meeting next week.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second. Yosh.
Okay. Is there any objections to postponing that until after we discuss new business? Okay. I just wanted to make sure we decide that tonight in case anybody has to leave early. Let us know.
Mr. Chair, I meant that to go under number 4, update from each station and elections.
Oh, okay. Any objections to putting it there? It'll be after we get the update. Okay. Let me put that on my agenda here. Okay.
Anybody else with a crackly?
Yes, I hear the...
I don't hear it, but is it, can you still understand okay, Bunny?
It's pretty aggravating.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hear it. I'll call back in if you want. I remember somebody mentioned it. I was one of the first people to call in. Let me hang up and call back. I don't hear it, but it might be me. So if
okay.
It goes away when I hang up, make note.
Well, no.
Okay. I'll call right back.
It's him.
That's very quiet.
Yeah.
So, Sean, are you going to report for Kay as far as the election?
Yeah, I did. I did talk to Michael Sanchez. You have a short report on KPFK.
Okay, good. I'll leave it to you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm back. Was it better?
You were the culprit.
Was it okay? But it cleaned up when I got off, huh?
Yeah.
It sounded like an old, you know, 33 and a third record player, you know?
No record. Okay. Is it better now?
Yes.
Yes,
okay,
it is.
So my connection was, okay, something wrong. Okay. Well, thanks for speaking up on that. Okay, let's see. Okay, the next item is update from each station on elections and ballots, because I have heard of a few problems, and I don't know what how serious they all are. But who would like to go first? Again, one of the questions was, when are people getting ballots and anything else that you want to bring up that the whole election committee should deal with?
This is Sean. I'm happy to go first on behalf of KPFK.
Okay.
We have got our ballots out. In fact, I did receive mine and sent it back. There was a problem with 34, well, let me put it this way. On the staff list, there were 34 staff people lacking proper contact information. it looks like the list was not completely vetted. It was caught in time, thanks in part to the mailing house, and the local election supervisor, Mr. Sanchez, gave a report on Saturday to the LSB and said that that has been corrected, that those people are receiving their ballots. There was one report of one person who did not receive a ballot, but upon investigation, it was found out that there was no documentation of her either her 3 hours or her donation, or her contributions, rather. So that may be out of, you know, something we don't have to deal with. Now, tomorrow night, I am going to help by picking up and securing the first batch of ballots that have come in. I'm going to be there with the local election supervisor and one other person from the board who, shall I say, diplomatically represents the other faction on our board. And we are going to pick them up and secure them with a, what do I want to say here, you know, make sure that they're properly, what's the word I want, guys, when you put a seal, yes, a seal around the ballots, and then they will be stored in a secure place already set up by our local election supervisor. That is my report.
Okay. Anybody else from KPFK have anything to add? Okay. When did you get the ballots, or when were people getting ballots there, Sean?
They went out. I won't say exactly what day they went out, but they have been going out. I got mine approximately 2 days ago and have already sent it back in.
Really? I got mine about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so I'm staff and you're listeners, so
okay.
They may have sent out the larger listener thing first and then the
right.
Staff. But for all intents and purposes, with the exception of 34 staff people who were on the list but didn't have proper contact information, and they have, according to the election, the local election supervisor, they have been contacted, they are going to be sent ballots, et cetera.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Who wants to go next? Another station. Well, I'll give KPFT. We got ballots. Most people got ballots around 7 to 10 days ago. I've heard a few people not getting ballots. At least one person said that she was. I know she's an active volunteer and has been logging her time, but for some reason, she wasn't on the membership list. For active for this year, and when she talked to RLES, she referred her to our membership coordinator, who said she should have checked before July 1st or whatever the date was, and did not seem. she doesn't have a ballot yet. That's still unresolved, and I know a few people have got the wrong kind of ballot, staff and listener, according to our RLES, but I haven't heard of any major problems with that yet. Wendy or Wesley, you have anything to add on KPFT?
Yeah, actually, I'm married to a programmer, and he did get one of each ballots, but that's, I'm sure, because we give money to under his name. So I don't know how that's going to be resolved, but, I mean, I plan to send in a ballot blank. I didn't get a KPFT ballot, but I'm not sure. I may have screwed up and just given money at all the events and for the kids and everybody else, but maybe I forgot to do my own membership in this time. I don't know. I just sent in a letter to the election supervisor to find out. But I got a WPFW ballot, and I, you know, technically I would think that I should have gotten a BAI ballot and a KPFK ballot. So I mean, technically, you're only supposed to vote in one signal area anyway, so I'll also be sending back my WPFW ballot blank so that it can help them reach the quorum. Anyway, it looks like Houston has done pretty well getting ballots. I don't know. We'll see about mine.
Okay, and I forgot to mention that our LES said that they did the first pickup she went with two LSB members last, I believe, Thursday or Friday, and she says we already have a third of the ballots we need for quorum. So that was the first pickup. Wesley, do you have anything to add? I gave you a tea?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Next station, who wants to go next?
Carolyn, I have a few things to,
okay,
to add. Maybe Bob wants to go first if he has any items he'd like to discuss. I'm still writing up my notes here.
Bob?
Okay. We've gotten quite a large number of reports of voters who are absolutely sure that they have donated and, you know, have contributed at least $25 in the last year or done the 3 hours of volunteer work, who have not received a ballot, and it's now 3 weeks since the ballots were mailed. So that's a serious problem.
How serious? What kind of numbers are we talking about, Bob?
Well, we keep kind of getting reports filtering in. So at this point, I'd say it's maybe a couple dozen. But the real problem at this point, besides the fact that they haven't gotten the ballots, is that there's been no announced policy, as there has been in every previous election, for where to go when you don't get a ballot, how to get a replacement ballot. There's been no announcement about a phone number or an email address.
Hello, Steve Brown.
Okay. A phone number or an email address that people can contact in order to get their replacement ballots. And so people are just sort of casting about and asking people they think might know something, you know, do you know what I should do? Who should I write to? Who should I call?
Who's your election supervisor?
Ethan Young.
I'm sorry, who?
Ethan Young.
Well, that would be the normal person to contact. Common
yeah,
sense
but the point is, you and I know that because we're active in this. The average voter does not know how all these things work. That is the role of the station and the station over the airwaves and through its website is to put out notices.
Bob, do you have your...
I'd appreciate if you'd stop interrupting me. Okay, so...
Very good,
go ahead,
no problem. Happy to do it, Bob.
So, in any case, that's one problem. Another problem is that there have been... As I believe it was, as Bill mentioned, there's been people who got the wrong kind of ballots. They got their listener, they got a staff ballot, or vice versa. And then there's also the complete lack of responsiveness by the local election supervisor to queries about fair campaign violations, and also about a particularly distressing case of a staff member who was... whose papers were accepted and their statement was put up on the website along with everyone else's, and that person had no reason to think there was any problem. And then all of a sudden one day it disappeared from the website, and only when that person inquired did they find out, oh, yes, by the way, you've been disqualified. Mm. And you have the right to appeal. But yet when that person appealed, absolutely no response was forthcoming. And this was on the eve of the printing of the ballots, if not perhaps after they were printed. It's not clear exactly when they were printed. And so, indeed, the ballots came out without that person's name or their statement, with no due process, no opportunity to make their case as to why, in fact, they had met the requirements under the bylaws to be certified as an unpaid staff member. So, as I said, problems all around. I'm sorry. One more thing. I'm sorry. Can I just add one more thing? Our WBI's website allows people to donate to the station using PayPal, which is a good thing. However, there's now a pattern that's emerging that people who made their $25 or whatever, you know, donation that qualifies them for membership via PayPal. Particularly if it was recent, like say in June or in the first 2 weeks of July, got email, some sort of automatic email back saying, well, we need your mailing address. And a number of people tried to reply and, you know, to write to where they were told to write, and it bounced. And that grouping of people have systematically not received ballots. So this is another problem, that there seems to be some sort of glitch or some sort of failure to supervise that process adequately to make sure that people that qualified under the rules, that donated by the appropriate deadline, indeed are recorded as voting members and get their ballots. That's it.
Okay. Sean, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a question here. Isn't your election supervisor's name up on the website of your station?
I believe so.
Yeah, well, then you should just direct people to, it would seem you should just direct people to the website and let the election supervisor deal with it, because I got to tell you, a couple of dozen ballots. What's your number for quorum? What are you trying to hit for quorum?
Well, there's, we were told there's about 14,000 members.
So you need 1,400 ballots. So you would agree with me that a couple of dozen ballots out of 1,400 is not a horrendous problem and is the natural problems that all elections face when they go through these processes.
No, I wouldn't agree with you.
That's just the ones he knows.
Let's don't get an argument right now about what's
here. No, I'm not getting an argument.
Just
I'm just asking that this, you know, you characterized it as large problems, and I'm just saying I don't see large problems here, and I want to thank you, Bob, for reminding me. I'd like to amend my remarks and let you know that five candidates were disqualified at KPFK because they lacked a sufficient number of signatures, okay, for the simple reason that they didn't get enough signatures, and thanks, Bob, for reminding me of that.
Can I just add one more thing real quick?
Okay.
And that is that at a comparable period in the last two elections, if I recall right, there was also maybe a couple of dozen people who had reported it. But for every person who has reported it, there's people who are just discouraged, and they're not station insiders. They don't know. Just because a name of a person is up on a website doesn't mean that they know that that's the right person to contact. So it's not about what I personally can tell people who contacted me. It's about the station's responsibility using the airwaves as well, where there's no mention of the supervisor, to, you know, to explain what to do if your right to vote has not been, you know, satisfied.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Let's hear from Carolyn and Steve if they have anything to add about WBAI.
I do.
Yeah, why don't I let Steve go first, and I'll, just so we don't repeat it ourselves. Steve?
Yeah, well, in the last election, 300 or 400 names did not get ballots. I know this because I mailed a mail of first class, and that's how many I got returned that were bounced. So I would expect comparable numbers in this case, or they could be much less. I'm not sure whether an NCOA scan was performed on the ballot, on the list, before the ballots were mailed out. I know I did one on mine before I mailed them out. So Bob is right. We don't know what kind of a problem we have. I would think that most people don't even know they're not going to get a ballot because they're not tuned in to what's going on at the station. And many don't even realize, I'm sorry to say, there's an election going on. And the first they hear about it is when they get a ballot. If they don't get a ballot, they're not going to complain because it's not in their mind that they were supposed to receive a ballot. So it is a big problem, or it could be a big problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Steve or Carolyn?
That's it for me.
Yeah, a couple of things. I think the problems that Bob is referring to, and Steve and I too, come down to the fact that there didn't seem to be a written protocol for local election supervisors to follow. And in this case, this supervisor somehow has missed some of the steps that should have been taken that would have made things easier. Now, I don't know where the blame lies, but I just feel there's no written thing that people can call up and say, you know, hey, you forgot number 29 or something. So I don't know what to do about that at this late stage, but it is a problem at BAI. We're getting we're not getting good information. And Bob says it's the station, but I do believe the local supervisor is responsible for posting information or seeing to it that it's posted or asking that it be posted and so on. I know he's had some problems.
Could you be specific about the kinds of information you're talking about that you're not getting?
Well, dates, deadlines, forums, and so on. We've had not too many candidate forums, and they do get posted, but they don't get advertised around beyond that. And I think that maybe what to put up and who's responsible for getting it up on the web and how much lead time there should be, these are all different questions, and I think that really might be an issue. I'm still distressed at the fact that despite this committee's motion that the PNB actually passed, ratified, I think it was almost unanimous, that we send things out first-class mail, it was a recommendation only, but the standard mail has resulted in great delays. I just got my ballot yesterday, and I know a lot of people in my area, my zip code, my part of town, who haven't gotten them yet. So that's another problem. You know, as Steve points out, some people will never know that they didn't get ballots, but we should certainly know. And I wish that we had been a little bit more diligent about demanding that there be some system of paying for returns. I know it was possible under the standard mail to pay for return mail service.
Add something, Steve, in there about this.
Oh,
it was my suggestion that they mail standard because we had plenty of time, and we have plenty of time. It was also my suggestion that we add an endorsement on there saying return address requested, which would immediately give us back any undeliverable addresses. The foundation chose not to do it because it would cost 40 or 50 cents per return. But since that's not a lot of money, because it's only a fraction of those that were mailed, what we can do now, by the way...
May I finish,
yeah,
Steve, and then we
I'm
can
sorry.
Get into what we can do when we go to the next step. I just do want a small list here, if I may. Another problem we had was fair campaign violations on the air. These are getting slippery. And again, there don't seem to be very firm guidelines. People who accidentally, on purpose, it sounds like, mention a candidate's name and then say, oops, I forgot, and then they mention the candidate's name again and say, you know, that person I shouldn't have mentioned. So what should the penalties be, and who should decide that? And how, you know, keeping up with these things is a cottage industry here, because it does seem to happen quite a bit.
Penalty should be death.
Another issue. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Carolyn. I just want to get on the stack. That's all. Go ahead.
All right.
So,
all right. My last point here is that the we have a serious problem at BAI with candidates who are extraordinarily disruptive at meetings of the LSB and have stated publicly, at least two have made firm statements that it is their philosophy that they have the right and the duty and the responsibility under whatever political system they're working under, I'm not sure, to disrupt meetings that they consider not worthy of their respect. Now, should they be elected to a board that they have already decided is illegal, or is it suddenly going to become legal when they get elected? So, and they have, some of them have been seen to either be promoting, really disrupting meetings, the PNB meeting and the LSB, most of you have seen in the videos, and it's been quite obvious who these people are. One or two have been accused of and photographed in either violent incidents themselves or promoting violence. So, again, we don't have a policy here, which is ridiculous. Why are we electing people who are undermining and destroying the foundation and the station? So I think that this committee has responsibility to make a very firm statement on this, and I would like to see those candidates disqualified. They should not be running, and they certainly, if elected, they shouldn't be allowed to take a seat.
Let me get to Sean in a second. Let me just mention, if any of you have specific suggestions that you want the Elections Committee to be sure to pass along as a motion, if you could write them down while we're discussing all this, that would be helpful, and then email them to all of us.
You.
Sean?
Yeah,
you had a question?
I'd like to put forth a motion that we recommend to the PNB that they put out a directive that all stations put on the air immediately information as to who the election official is and where they can go if they're not receiving a ballot, as well as, and perhaps most importantly, a public service announcement that says to people, part of your benefit of being a member of Pacifica is you get to vote. Please send in your ballots. We need to encourage people to send in their ballots, as well as make sure that they get their ballots. And we should put forth from the Election Committee a recommendation to the PNB that they send out a directive to ensure that that happens across the network. That will take care of Bob's problems. That will take care of a lot of our problems. And I'll have more to say about Carolyn's concerns as the meeting progresses. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I?
Could you, in the meantime, if you're by your computer, could you write up whatever you want in
the
book?
Yeah. I'll do that. I'll shorten all that and put something together. Now, can I send that off after the meeting?
Well, and if you want it voted on tonight, you need to send it soon. Why don't we, if you all don't mind, wait till after we get all the reports from the stations before we handle these motions. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not sure how widespread some of these things are.
Yeah, Steve, can I get on the stack?
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, my suggestion is that sending it out on the radio or posting it is not going to reach most of the people who are members. There really is only one way to do that, and that is to send out a postcard, nonprofit, for 9.8 cents apiece, asking everybody if they got their ballot, if they didn't, what to do about it. And that's the only way to be sure, since the number of people who didn't get ballots could, at BAI at least, could be very high because of the PayPal issue that Bob mentioned earlier. Well, I didn't hear all of his comment, but I'm familiar with it. We cannot afford to do anything less. Now, there are 14,000 members at approximately 10 cents for a postcard. We're talking about $1,400. I know that we're in extremis at the moment, but if it's not worth $1,400 to help a possibly significant portion of the electorate vote, then we are all in the wrong business.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would we use the same mailing list that they used for the ballots to send the postcards? How would we know that we got ballots to everyone?
That's a good question. But the postcards would be mailed first class, nonprofit. But wait a minute. The postcards would be endorsed with a return address requested. Okay, they only cost 9 cents, 10 cents to mail, and we would get back, as we should have done with the initial ballot mailing, all those people who are undeliverable. Then we go into our database file, get their phone number, and call them.
Can you write information? Can you write this down and email it to us here before the end of the meeting?
I can do that.
And then we'll handle these motions after we get these reports.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Privilege here.
We need to get to the other stations too. But
yeah, a point of personal privilege, if I may.
Okay.
I am without a computer. My computer's in the shop. If someone would like to draft a motion, send it around that I suggested about candidates who've been disruptive being disqualified as candidates, I'd very much appreciate that, and we can kick it around. I have some wording, but it's not in writing. I can send you because I have no computer. Thank you. Somebody
want to do that?
Well, I don't even have to volunteer. Maybe someone's thinking about it. Thank you.
Okay. I don't hear anybody coming forward, but...
Neither do I.
Okay. Let's see. We haven't heard from KPFA or WPFW. Forget who's at those stations. Jim?
Bonnie,
yeah.
Having a little trouble actually taking you off mute, as you can hear in the background.
Okay.
I have two large dogs who have decided they have to be right near here barking.
Want to give us a KPFA report?
Maybe they'll be quiet for a minute. We'll see. I can't give you any statistically valid report. I think that we have a number of concerns and problems, whether they be a minor or larger than minor. I can only give you a completely, you know, grassroots poll of, you know, probably 10 or 15 listeners that I've talked to. I think I know of 4 out of those that didn't get ballots yet. The staff ballots, I think, came beginning of last week. And I know that listener ballots are coming over the past week. It seems that I've heard from a number of people that they had gotten them. There are some concerns with a number of staff people that the election supervisor had sent notes to about the status of their voting possibilities, and I'm not one of them, so I'm not really sure how that has all played itself out. But I think there were some 40 or so unpaid staff people that got those notices.
What was the status question, whether they're staff or not, or what?
It was just a notice that came to them that said their voting status is in question. This was at the end of August, and they were asked to get back to... I'm sorry, my dogs are really making this impossible. Why don't you go on to someone else, and I'll try to put them somewhere where they can't get to me.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, is anybody else from KPFA?
Yeah, Anthony here.
Oh, yeah.
I had not actually heard what Bonnie just said. Not that I'm disputing it. I just hadn't heard that, so can't add anything to that. Informally, listeners, I've as far as I know, the handful of listeners I've talked to have all had their ballots for a while, but that I'm sure it's not enough to be a valid sample.
Okay. You haven't heard any major complaints?
No. That doesn't mean doesn't mean everything's fine. But I wasn't aware of this.
I forget. Do you know what percentage of the ballots have been collected, or how many have been collected yet?
No.
Okay. I forgot to ask that at WBAI if any of them have been collected yet.
I think sometime soon we're going to have that same process where the election supervisor will go to the P.O. box and collect the ballots, and in the presence of representatives of all the candidate groups, count them and put them in a safe deposit box.
Okay. Bonnie, are you available again?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a try.
Okay.
Until I'm invaded again. So, all of these things are... hopefully things that are getting unraveled and then rewoven properly. And I'm sorry, but it's just, I can't really, we don't have any firm numbers to give you on who has and hasn't gotten ballots because they're kind of drifting in. You know, because they were not first class, they didn't come in quite the same regimented fashion. That they might have. So I think it's going to be a little bit of time before we can really apprise that. I do know that people have called about not having received ballots, and as far as I know to date, have not received any word back, and I guess it's a little early to be really worried about that, but I hope that this time around, we are not going to be waiting till the very last second to try to respond to people who have ballot problems.
Okay. And again, just to go on what I was suggesting, if you have a motion or anything, and this might deal with just general recommendations to our NES or LES, if you want to make any recommendations about these things, if you could write them down and email them to us, we can maybe deal with all these in a little bit tonight. For example, something we want the NES to do, or whatever.
Come on the election call. Would that be like something we want
well,
the NES to do?
Yeah, but I mean, if
how's that working out for you?
If he can't or won't, then we could at least send recommendations to him and the PNB about. You just mentioned something about not waiting till the last minute, for example. Okay, ready to move on to WPFW. Jim or anybody else? Jim, are you the only one from WPFW on the call? Jim Brown?
Jim, here.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Tell
okay,
us how
great.
Things are going with the election and ballots.
Yes, I know. We are having most of the problems that everyone has mentioned so far. One major problem we are having is that there's no real policing of people who are running to to misuse the airways. And there's got to be some way of checking that. We have a couple of candidates who have been on air, you know, two or three times on other programs and so forth, just making themselves known publicly by using the airways to boost their presence. We also have people who are complaining that they have not received their ballots yet. I know I haven't received mine yet. And we're wondering what's going on with that, because it's getting pretty late and we don't have much time. In regards to what someone was just mentioning earlier about getting a message out to people who, to our public who have not received ballots, we have on air running several times a day an announcement that says that if you haven't received your ballot by a certain date, call this number right away. That's running, and I don't know what the response is from that.
Is that date already passed?
Say it again?
Is that date already passed that they're running?
Hasn't. Not yet.
It's not passed? Okay.
So I don't know what the response will be from that. But I'm concerned that that we either our local supervisor needs more help, or that someone has to really be on top of the people who are misusing the airways. The other concern that the candidates are voicing now is that some of the candidates' recorded statements are being aired more than others, but that's something we'll deal with on a local level. But we've got all these things that, in addition to the ones that you guys have mentioned already, that are happening that really concerns me about this election.
Okay. Well, you're the only one from WFW. Any questions for Jim about any of that? Well, let me ask. Do you know if has anybody have notified the LES about some of these problems and what the LES's response is?
I don't know what the response has been, but we drafted a letter and sent it to her as of last week, and I don't know what the results of that is yet.
So no response yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen a response yet, but I would suggest that she. I would think that she. The seriousness of the letter says that she has to respond fairly quickly.
Okay. Well, again, if you have a suggestion on anything you want us to vote on or pass regarding what the LSS should do, if you want to make it in a motion, if you can write it down and email it to us here in the next few minutes, that would be helpful.
Bill, this is Bob. I have a question for all the stations.
Okay, Bob.
Can I ask, what is the deadline that was listed on the ballot sent to each station? Was it October 14th or October 15th?
I believe it's 15.
Received by then, I believe.
Right.
That's the deadline.
Okay, because the Pacifica website, I'm looking at it right now, continues to say October 14th. All ballots mailed in must be received by this date. And for a long time, the WVAI website said October 14th. So I would like to, I guess, make a motion that that the committee recommend to the board that they call upon the NES to immediately correct any and all websites within Pacifica that have the incorrect return date.
Okay. Do you want to make that a motion?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know if Yosh got that from you, sing it.
Hey, I just sent mine around. Have him send his around, please. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Could you write yours up too, Bob?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. And listen, let me check my mail. See who I got first. Well, I haven't received anyone's yet. Let me check again. Anybody else mailed their motions or recommendations yet?
Yeah, this is Sean. I sent it out 1 minute ago. It should be there shortly, sir.
Okay. Well, any other questions for Jim about WPFW? Okay. Or anything else that any of the stations we forgot about or that you want to add while we're waiting for these motions to come in? Okay.
Excuse me. May I read my motion and ask someone to kindly type it up and send it around for me? I do have wording.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay, Yosh, if you can write this down while we're going to, since Carolyn's not by our computer. Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
Thank you. Candidates who have been disruptive of meetings of the LSB and the PNB, and or the PNB, tell me if I'm going too fast, Yosh, should be disqualified as candidates for the LSB, period. The recommendation of the LSB and the general manager should be considered by the LES and NES. Who shall make, of the
sorry,
LSB
Carolyn.
And the GM.
Yeah, sorry, Carolyn, you're losing.
Sorry, okay.
I've got candidates who have been disruptive of LSB and or PNB should be disqualified as candidates. And I take it you mean this election cycle?
Well, I'd like to make it a policy
okay.
specific, but just... and leave that open. Yes, definitely now.
I don't know. Okay. You want me to just put disqualified as candidates, period, without specifying any election cycle?
All right, yes, thank you.
Okay, and then your second sentence?
The recommendation of the LSB and the GM, comma, together with video and audio evidence of these disruptions, comma.
Video and audio
evidence of these disruptions. Should be considered by the LES and NES. Who shall make the final determination within 5 days of receiving a complaint?
Days of receipt of the complaint?
From any station member. In other words, I'm not saying it has to come from the board or from the general manager, but any station member.
Right. Okay, you want me to read it back to you?
Please, thank you.
Candidates who have been disruptive of the LSB and or PNB should be disqualified as candidates. The recommendation of the LSB and the GM, together with video and audio evidence of these disruptions, should be considered by the LES and the NES, who shall make the final determination within 5 days of receipt of the complaint from any station member.
I'd like to add, after the end of the first sentence, as candidates for the LSB.
Okay.
Or should we put maybe and the PNB? Because ultimately that might be... Yes, for the LSB and the PNB.
You mean delegates.
Thank you.
Candidates for delegates.
For delegates, thank you.
Candidates as delegates to the...
What do we call the candidates for the PNB? Are they also delegates?
Directors.
No, they're candidates for director.
Candidates for delegates and directors, then.
We're not having PNB elections right now, though. We're just having the LSB elections.
I know, but I'm thinking ahead.
Candidates for delegates.
And directors.
You know what? You can't put for director.
First, Wendy, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Wendy?
Well, I was just going to say that the LES and NES have no jurisdiction over anybody running for director because the local station board or the delegates elect the director, so they can... It's out of the LES's hands by then.
All right, I'll accept that. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Just candidates for LSB. Just candidates for LSB, is that correct?
Delegate.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So I'm going to delete all reference to the PNB.
No. Disruption of the PNB.
Oh, I see.
Disqualify people.
And or. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
PNB. Okay, I've got candidates who have been disruptive of the LSB and or the PNB should be disqualified as candidates for delegates to the LSB. The recommendation of the LSB and the GM, together with video and audio evidence of these disruptions, should be considered by the LES and the NES, who shall make the final determination within 5 days of receipt of a complaint from any station member. And this was seconded by Wendy?
Sean.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm assuming we're going to have a number of these, so this might, I'm going to ask, we try to keep discussion not too long for each one of them. So, any discussion, though, on this?
This is Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah, well, first I'm going to make a point of order that this motion blatantly violates the bylaws. The board has absolutely no authority to disqualify or recommend the disqualification of any candidate for the LSB. The bylaws have very clear criteria for who's qualified, who's not qualified, what is a disqualifying act. It lists things like running for political office and so forth. We can't just willy-nilly make up new rules in the middle of the game, number one. And number two is it absolutely crosses the line that the bylaws says cannot be crossed, which is that all decisions about elections, about the determination of the fairness of an election is in the hands of the election supervisor. It's not in the hands of the board, precisely because the board members are also elected and therefore have a vested interest in which of their allies or their political opponents get elected to this coming new board or, you know, whatever the election that they're in the middle of. So the idea of having a recommendation of the LSB as to who should be barred from running is utterly alien and contrary to the whole notion of the independence and the fairness and the neutrality of the election process as supervised by an independent election supervisor. So I ask Bill, as chair, that you rule this motion out of order as violative of the bylaws.
Actually, I don't think I'm going to do that. I mean, you can challenge my ruling, but I think we're just making a recommendation, and the PNB then in turn would only be making a recommendation to the NES. So I think that's in order to make those recommendations if the committee wants to do it.
Okay, I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Excuse me, are we discussing this now?
The current motion is appealing the ruling of the chair on Bob's point of order. So, I forget, is that debatable? I don't think it is.
Yes,
it is debatable, but the chair gets the first word and the last word in this debate.
Okay. Well, I basically already said what I was going to say.
I would suggest to the chair, and he can take my recommendation or not, he listen to all the arguments and then, come at the end and sum up why he did what he did, and we'll take a vote.
Okay.
Carolyn?
Yes, I'd like to point out that it may be the supervisors who determine who's qualified, but they may never know some of these things. Our supervisor, for instance, was so hounded at a couple of LSB meetings that he hasn't attended the most recent one and seen some of the most egregious behavior. And in fact,
well, now, what we're discussing
we're
is the appeal
of the chair.
The appeal to the ruling of the chair.
Oh well, I'm answering Bob's argument for.
Right now we're debating the ruling of the chair.
Putting this out of order, and I'm saying that, in fact, his argument is not relevant because the election supervisor might never know, or even though he's qualified to determine who is a candidate, he may never know of these violations unless he's notified, and I'm suggesting a mechanism whereby he is notified of behavior that might be of interest to him.
Sean for the stack.
Okay, Sean.
Bob's argument is disingenuous because all of us, whether we're on the LSB or PNB, our first and most important fiduciary duty to the foundation is to make sure that we can transact business. And if we cannot transact business because of disruptors who are now running in the elections, we can make recommendations to both the PNB and the election supervisor that they deal with these problems, because the last thing we want to do is elect disruptors to the board who will then thwart our ability to conduct business, which we have a, that's our number one fiduciary duty, folks. So I support the ruling of the chair. We do need to have these matters looked into, and if some people are coming on the board bent on pure disruption, they should not be allowed to run. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to speak?
This is Bob.
Bonnie.
Bob.
I'll hold off because I spoke before till Bonnie speaks.
Okay, Bonnie.
Well, I actually don't think that we should be passing motions that recommend that we take actions that are not called for in the bylaws or allowed in the bylaws, and I think the motion is at best really cumbersome. What's the definition of someone who is disruptive? Is that someone who raises their voice? Is that someone who has to raise their voice to a certain level? I don't know quite how we would define that.
It's people
and
with
I also belts. Don't understand.
Let Bonnie finish.
This would seem to be indicating that people would be unable to run in a current or future election if they were disruptive, and it throws it at the national election supervisor, but we don't have a national election supervisor around the calendar. I'm just not sure that this motion practically makes any sense. So I do think, I suspect that it is out of order.
Okay, Bob?
Okay, well.
Jim to the stack.
Okay, and then Jim? Yeah.
There's Sean to the stack.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Actually, just a point of order on the stack, because under Robert's rules, the challenges to the chair's rulings can only be spoken to once by each member and twice by the chair.
Fine, no problem.
So, okay. So just in response to an earlier comment, the idea that the board is
Excuse
going
me,
to...
Excuse me, Bob, haven't you spoken already on this?
No, I didn't.
No, Bob hasn't.
I made the point of order. That's not speaking to the...
But I thought
appeal.
You spoke earlier to this. That's all I wanted to clarify.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, so the point made earlier that this is part of some sort of, this is allegedly part of some sort of fiduciary responsibility. The whole concept, as Bonnie alluded to, the concept of what constitutes disruption is an utterly subjective and highly political judgment that is made by people in their perception. I mean, I've been to board meetings for 6 years now, and I've seen all the stripes of people from all points of view speaking at times when they weren't called upon to speak. Now, you know, some people may call that disruption. Some people may call that being extremely vocal or protesting something they believe is grossly unfair or violation. Excuse me, I'm speaking.
Finish, please.
You will not interrupt me.
Let Bob finish, please.
I am being extremely vocal right now, Bob. I am using your example against you, my friend.
Sean, let Bob finish, please.
I'm just showing you the silliness of his argument because I'm just being extremely vocal right now. And I'm upset against people who thwart our ability to do business.
Sean, let's let him finish. It's okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Actually, the previous speaker is a perfect example of the type of disruption that, according to the motion on the floor, would merit him being excluded from running. So
I think that
illustrates the point that this is a purely, you know, this kind of language to be put into a board motion is a purely political kind of language that is just ripe for abuse, and which is why the bylaws, to get back to my original point of order, made it clear that this is not the province of any board. This is the province of the LES and the NES, and to do anything other than that is absolutely to introduce tremendous abuse and prejudice into the entire electoral process. I mean, there's a a long history in U.S. society, and in particular within the struggle for Pacifica to maintain its mission and its the focus of serving communities, in which at times people were vocal during board meetings, including you know, some of the people on this call tonight, who have expressed support for this concept of restricting people's ability to run, that there are times when people have exercised that right. And so the idea that that would suddenly become some political criterion to say, well, you're disqualified from running, is completely contrary to the spirit and the letter of the bylaws. I'm done.
Point of information.
Okay.
Brown?
Yes, at your point, please.